This is a download from RTE Lyric FM. To find out more, go to rte.ie/lyricfm.
How does that sound is never a casual question to John Groves, the composer turned sound branding guru who's helped dozens of businesses tune the sound side of their corporate image. It's a booming area since so many things we own these days have a little silicon chip capable of delivering to us a little tune or sound logo whenever we use them. But what's the point of that?
It's all about what we call in sound sonic mnemonics, a general mnemonic device of making a bridge between the signal and that what we're trying to make the connection to. Unintentional sound branding has been there all the time. If you think of the sound of a Zippo lighter, for instance, when it's opening, it has such a unique sound that you know what it is. The church is a very well-branded institution. I mean, they have corporate architecture. You can recognize a church and differentiate it from other buildings from miles away. They've got a corporate emblem, basically a logo. They even have corporate dress and as well as corporate behavior. But what we're talking about is the sound. Now, they actually use a church bell to make us aware of them, and we know that it's a church that's calling us to worship or that's making us aware of something's happening. And they even have their own brand instrument, the organ, and their own actual style of music that is dignified and is worthy of being in a place of worship. So yes, I mean, they've really got it sewn up there. I think there's always been a knowledge of the importance of sound branding. It just hasn't been called sound branding. What is new is the name and the systematic and intentional way of using sound. Using sound for identification purposes has always been there, and using sound to fit to images and to communicate senses of value or senses of belonging has also always been there, and it's been used in corporate communication. But what we are doing these days is really finding ways to use a structured system to make sure that we get sounds that fit the particular uses, the particular brands or corporations that we're trying to identify, which is very important because if it doesn't fit, there's evidence to show that it will create a cognitive dissonance and people will maybe turn against the product. So fit is important. Using something in all of the places of contact, what we call touch points, is important, and using it consistently over time is important. So these three elements are really what it's all about. There is no immediate connection with the Intel sound logo and the product, but studies have shown that people will still interpret it when faced with different choices as futuristic, technical, and they like it. So I think to get more things of a sound than that, of liking it and two very, very good scores on attributes, I think you don't really want that much more. If you can get more in, then it's great, but there really is only so far you can go without it turning into the emperor's new clothes. The usual man in the street is going to respond pretty well to piped music, especially in the situation for what it was intended, in a lift on the 386th floor in New York. This is going to calm his nerves, slow down his pulse, and it's going to give him a feeling of well-being. So it's not all bad. Manipulation of emotions, as I say, is being done all the time, and for our entertainment as well. If we're going to be able to create better experiences, and let's face it, we're for most brands selling stuff, but what we are doing is providing a roadmap to be able to find our way through the jungle of products. We're giving navigation help. So if we take away the selling part of it, sound branding can be a very, very important part for just for people to build up contacts with certain brands. It could be a governmental institution. It could be something to instill a feeling of trust and to have this feeling continuously in every point of contact, like hospitals. You can see in test groups people that just don't get it. And that there are certain levels of this, if we call it sickness, malfunction perhaps, who will just not have any response to music in an emotional sense at all. There are people that won't respond to anything in an emotional sense. But we can safely say with the research we've done with focus groups, we're about 50% better than if we just went by gut feeling.
I was talking there to John Groves, and sound design was by Mark Gavin. And John's book, Communication, From Pavlov's Dog to Sound Branding, is out now from Oak Tree Press.
Thanks for downloading from RTE Lyric FM. To find out more, go to rte.ie/lyricfm.